Tonight I heard the wild goose cry, winging north in the lonely sky. Tried to sleep, but it ain't no use, 'cause I am the brother to the old wild goose. My heart goes with the wild goose knows, and I must go where the wild goose goes. Wild goose, brother goose, which is best, a wandering foot or a heart at rest? The cabin is warm, and the snow is deep, and I've got a woman, she lies asleep. When she wakes at tomorrow's dawn, she'll find, poor critter, that her man is gone. But the wild goose knows, and I must go where the wild goose goes. Wild goose, brother goose, which is best, a wandering foot or a heart at rest? My woman was kind and true to me. Thinks she loves me, the more fool she. She gotta learn that it ain't no use to love the brother to the old wild goose. My heart knows what the wild goose knows, and I must go where the wild goose goes. Wild goose, brother goose, which is best, a wandering foot or a heart at rest. Spring is coming, and the ice will break, and I can't linger for a woman's sake. She'll see a shadow pass overhead. She'll find a feather beside my bed. My heart knows what the wild goose knows, and I must go where the wild goose goes. Wild goose, brother goose, which is best, a wandering foot or a heart at rest?
Well, there you go. That was Tennessee Ernie Ford. I screw it up. Yeah, terrible Tom. That's been around for a long time. Frankie Lane sang it, too. Frankie Lane was a good singer. He was Jewish, so I figured I'd not push the panic button and play you Tennessee Ernie Ford's version. Yes, it is November the 17th. 2015, and we're right here in the bunker as usual on the job. I went out this morning and I've got an old 1945 lawn chair that is made out of metal, and it rocks. I got it sitting out by my creek frontage where we got about 200 feet of footage on this creek. Some people just call it a ditch. Yeah. So I like to sit out there and think about things, you know. And especially this morning, because the geese were giving me a great show. Whoops. It was really odd because there were dozens of geese. And of course, when they're flying, they're honking, talking to each other. And they were going round and round in bunches around the top of the property here. And they went around and around honking and honking for, I'd say, about an hour. And then some stragglers came and was able to hook up with them. And away they went south. I thought that was really odd how that worked out. Why did they just all come around and circle over my head? Oh, something creepy going on here. But anyhow, that reminded me of the Wild Goose Song by Tennessee Ernie Ford. And I don't think there are many of you out there that remember that. Or maybe not many remember Tennessee Ernie Ford, but he was a terrific singer back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, I believe. Yeah. One thing I was thinking about there, because you have to have some time just to sit back and think. People don't do that, but they should. Contemplate your navel, as they used to say back in the hippie days. Yeah. Well, anyhow, you know, you remember when the 9/11, seems like ancient history, that the Twin Towers collapsed, of course, because of a couple of airplanes hitting them. Yeah, right. But remember, they found a driver's license from one of the Saudi Arabian perpetrators, alleged perpetrators, in the rubble. Now, what the hell do you think the odds would be on something like that? That these giant buildings would all collapse in a million pieces, and all of a sudden they walk over and pick up a driver's license from a so-called terrorist. That always was interesting to me, knowing how the CIA and these people operate. So recently we had these ISIS, unconventional warriors, soldiers, which that's what they are. They're not terrorists. They just are a little more serious about their activities, like the Mongols were back when they invaded Europe, cutting off heads all over the place. Well, somewhere in the news reporting crap, that most of it is nonsense, and they repeat it so often it drives me crazy. I have to go to a hillbilly station to get away from them. Between them and the preachers, God almighty, we got so many Christian insanity radio stations around this part of the country. I can't go but just a little bit down the dial. You'll hit 1, 2, 3, 4. There must be 7 or 8 on FM. I haven't even try to keep count of how many of them are on AM. They're all hawking for money, of course. For the Lord. For God. God needs the money. Yeah. But I heard this one little blurb about the Paris thing that was interesting to me, that they found the passport supposedly of one of these attackers who was dead. I think this is one who had a bomb on himself. They found a passport next to him on the ground. My light lit up in my brain and said, wait a minute, deja vu. Now, if the cops shot him, that's one thing. If he had a explosive device on him and blew himself up, I doubt whether there'd be anything left of that passport. But that's beside the point. Was that passport planted? I mean, you know, if you're going on a life and death mission like they were, why would you carry along your passport? You'd probably like to cover your individual involvement up. Whether you're bragging about ISIS or not, that's beside the point. But I thought that was so interesting because I know how the CIA operates and the FBI too. And don't ever take anything at face value, boys and girls. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing that comes out of the corporate media. Nothing that comes out of the White House. Nothing that comes out of London, Berlin, or any of these places. Don't believe any of it. Now, some of it's probably true, but much of it is not, and it's false flag created. So here we've got the results of Cheney Bush Jr. blowing the shit out of the world, at least only part of it so far, but it's working towards a lot of it. And so they destroy the homelands of the people in the Middle East. I mean, of course, they're going to do it to help them and give them democracy. And that's, I love the way we give other people democracy. We don't even have it ourselves, and I wouldn't want it anyhow. We deliver it by bombs. Hey, you want some democracy? Here comes a bomber plane. Here comes an aircraft carrier. We're going to give you democracy. First thing we're going to do is kill all your leaders, have regime change, and drag them out and kill them. And then we're going to introduce you to all our unconventional warfare groups. Every one of them that we've had a hand in creating. ISIS is the culmination of all of them. The biggest one the Pentagon's been able to create since. And then, of course, people fleeing for their lives from everywhere want to go anywhere to get away from it. So they do figure Europe or someplace like that. And these people, what would you do? I'm not for these people being there, and I want to see them removed back into their country, but I want to see all this goddamn Pentagon war machine out of there first so these people can go back and rebuild and like that. Maybe China or Russia will loan them some money to build a house. So now what I hear is all the governors of the United States want to say, we don't want any of these people in here. Well, I can understand that. I didn't want any of these 20 million wetbacks in here either. And I fought it all my life. But they're here, aren't they? And now what do you hear the Republicans and the Democrats say? Well, there's too many of them now. They can't go home. That's ridiculous that we could take these people and put them back into Mexico. I mean, we can put hundreds of thousands of troops into Europe to kill Germans. We can put hundreds of thousands of troops into Vietnam to kill millions of Vietnamese. But we can't remove illegal aliens from the United States. Isn't that interesting? If they want to do something, they can do almost anything. But if they don't want it to happen, it won't happen. So, anyhow, these governors, the governor of my state even, they said, we don't want these people here. We don't want these people. We're afraid of these people. Well, you should be afraid of some of these people because there's obviously going to be ISIS fighters or Al-Qaeda fighters. And of course, that's a logical thing to do. There's nothing that ISIS or these other groups are doing that's hard to understand. It's basic unconventional warfare. That's what all it is. It's never changed since the beginning. The first group that got together started using it thousands of years ago. If you want to know about it, you study the battles of the Middle East and the battles of Europe and all that kind of stuff. And, I forgot. I was going to read about the Peasants' War. Yeah. Sort of like our war should be. Yeah. So they don't want them in. But these are the same people that voted to go over there and bomb the shit out of these people's houses on the pretext of bettering their lives. We'll better your life. Watch out. Whenever the United States or Britain or even France and these outfits say they're going to better your life, you better run for your life. Run for your life, man. They're going to better our life. And all these Christians on their crusade. And that's the other thing. Now Cruz, this screwball guy that's running for president, he says, well, we should only let the Christians in. And, of course, millions of fundamentalists will say, yeah, that's right. Those Muslims, they're with the devil. we Christians, we with the real God here, man. Don't let them in here. They'll start these mosques and these imams are going to start draining off all the money. We ain't going to, our preachers ain't going to get any money. So, how stupid and hypocritical can people be? And it's certainly true that I can't deny it, that the white race today is the most hypocritical race in the world. And it's become the most corrupt race in the world. So how are we going to save somebody like that? We're not going to save them. Mother Nature is going to give them a lesson. Mother Nature says, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. I'm going to kick your ass, white man, until you get back in the evolutionary struggle and understand what it's all about. And quit fucking everybody else up and stay home and do your thing, you know? When I'm sitting out there by that creek or ditch or whatever you want to call it, these are the things I think about. But you hear a few people talking about it and getting it right. Mostly writers in Russia and other extreme left-wingers that aren't really left-wingers at all. And, I mean, you know, they're writing some great stuff. They're not whining about the white race, though, that's for sure. It's amazing watching these films of how these masses of white people are accepting these people invading them like they're rock stars. You know, white girls throwing themselves at the feet of these non-whites. And the non-whites, if they don't throw themselves at the feet of the non-whites, they get raped. Like I said, I got that sign out front. Now you see why they want your guns. This is the main reason. The total change of the populations of the world. This was what they wanted from the beginning. Now, whether that's totally a Jewish thing or not, I don't know. But that's what they're in the process of doing. They're really going to town. And here Europe is, stupid white men with no guns. I mean, there isn't one probably in, you know, hundreds of people in Germany or France or England that's got a gun. So now they're going to have to fight the hard way. They're going to have to improvise. They're going to have to break into armories like somebody did back east here in Massachusetts the other day. You're going to have to take the guns. You're going to have to take the bombs. You're going to have to take the planes. You're going to have to go like Civil War II and take what you need. However, we are pretty well armed, the American population, so at least initially, I don't think they're going to need much. But Europe, if I had a ship, control of a ship, and could load it up with small arms, or arms, period, I'd be willing to sail that thing right into Bremerhaven, Germany, and unload it to the people as fast as they could come and get the guns. What I'm hoping is that Putin may try to help the people of Europe. Of course, he's part of Europe, really, technically, too. I think Putin's the only hope of a leader in that area of the world that can help them. Maybe, you know, maybe the Chinese. I don't know. You don't know what the Chinese are thinking. They're quite racist. The Chinese population is very racist, as I found out about the Japanese people when I was in Japan. They're not as racist now as they used to be, but they were and have been quite racist. So they should be able to sympathize with other races that are being expunged. And if you were in Russia and you got these border guys to look the other way, you could be taking trucks full of weapons into Eastern Europe, especially through Bulgaria, because Bulgaria is friendly to keeping these people out, and it could get something going. And I'm sure there are some people getting something going right now, even though I don't have any concrete proof. But it's something else. And the moron president, and don't say just because he's black. We've had moron presidents, puppets serving the ruling class for a long time, even a lot more than Obama. I mean, once in a while, Obama tries to do something that I would say is fairly good, but they always throw it up in his face, you know. They don't care as long as they get themselves a Republican into office. Then I'm telling you, if they get another Republican in there, we're really screwed. I mean, not that a Democrat would stop anything, but at least some of the Democrats put up some resistance to some things. Don't go running around to the right-wing buddies that Metzger's going crazy. He's going with the Jew-led Democrat Party. I'm not going with any Jew-led party at all. But I'm telling you, if a Republican gets in there in a landslide and they get the Senate and the Congress, shit. Katie, bar the door shut. There's a man under the bed. Because they're going to start privatizing everything. Social Security, all that stuff. Forget it. Senior citizens, fuck you. Medicare, fuck you. Yeah. Did you hear what Trump said the other day? Americans need to have their salaries cut. Yeah, you didn't hear that, did you, you Trumpites? Americans need their salaries cut. We're making too much money. And also, he says, we got to have a bigger war budget. Well, that's what's got us into this situation in the first place. So all you people that are pro-Trumpites, because he throws you a bone once in a while like he did yesterday. He said that if all those people over there had had guns in Paris, they wouldn't have got away with it. Now, this is stuff that means nothing except to get a few people excited, like a false flag situation, because they didn't have guns. And they wouldn't have guns. Their government wouldn't give them guns. So that's a moot point. So Trump says things like that. Then he turns around and says, we need more armaments. We need more defense stuff. Anybody that talks that shit is your enemy. It's the enemy of everybody in the world that's not a super billionaire. And even they're screwed too, because they start throwing atomic bombs around. You don't think the rich are going to get it too? But they're so into themselves, they don't think it'll happen to them. That's right. So don't embarrass yourself by running around supporting Donald Trump. He's just another false flag bullshitter who I think he knows in his own mind he's not going to be the candidate for president. I don't know who's going to be. They'll probably buy the thing for Bush. Yeah. I mean, politics is crooked. The ballot box is crooked. The whole system's crooked. The ruling class, and the predatory capitalists are going to get what they want, no matter what they got to do. Do you think they're going to stop at manipulating them? A ballot box? You think this last time when they put Bush in and kept what's his name, the guy that's all for green, and yet he lives in a house with about 15 bedrooms and consumes giant amounts of power? Du Bois pulled off a good one there. They just said no. We want fucking Bush. We don't care how the people voted in Florida or how many niggers we got to keep off the poll, out of the polling box. Al Gore's not going to be the president because we can't trust him. I remember Dennis Mahan one time went to one of the gatherings where Gore showed up. And, see, that was when he was vice president, I think. I think he was vice president. And Dennis said hello to him, and Gore came right over and shook his hand. Of course, he didn't know who Dennis was, I'm sure. But Gore was a lot different than this maniac George Bush Jr. I don't see why, because people on the so-called left and so-called right know that George Bush Jr. is a war criminal of the worst stripe, and Cheney, and they're civilians now. They're not even technically protected by CIA. They should be, or not Secret Service. The people should get together and march by the thousands down there to their house and put a citizen's arrest on them. Get a citizen's arrest on George Bush Jr. and Cheney and put the handcuffs on and ship them to the world court. They're really anxious to get a hold of those two bastards. Americans still don't quite understand it, but the Europeans understand it perfectly. So get those two bastards over there to the world court and let's watch them sweat and watch them fry. Okay? All right. I got some news. It's bad news from Richard Scutari. Yesterday called me, and he was up for his review to go to the parole board. He had to appear before this one person that will make her recommendations to the parole board, and she was a big-ass nigger. And she really gave him a hard time. Now, he's 68 years old now. So he's been in there, what, 30 years? And he's obviously not inclined to go out and blow up the world. He just wants to get out and relax for a few years, like we all do. She said the biggest thing she had against him was, well, you use this 14 words a lot when you write letters. He said, yeah, and he spit it right out, what it meant. And she said, well, that shows me you're just not ready for release. I think you're going to have to spend another 10 years to do the full sentence that you received. 10 more years. And that's if he's got good time. If something happens and somebody sets up a fight with him or something like that in the prison, he could do the whole 10 years. Now, you see, I told Richard the things I want to say I can't say on the phone. I can't say the things I want to say on the phone, and he knew it too. I always think of the Bastille Day in France. Yeah. Remember the poor people, the peasants, and there was basically hardly any middle class in France, and they had a shit life as they did in England and other places. I mean, the working class, peasant class had horrible lives, and they were caused to have horrible lives so that the super rich, the monarchies, could live like, well, kings and queens. They were kings and queens. So, finally, every once in a while, the lid blows off. And they keep filling up the Bastille with these poor people that maybe stole a loaf of bread or maybe offended the king or something like that. Well, when the French Revolution broke out, the first thing the boys did was go down and knock those locks off the gates of the Bastille, and thousands of these prisoner peasants came streaming out of there, and believe me, They wanted that guillotine. They wanted that blood, and they wanted to cut the fucking heads off all those bastards that had been oppressing them for so long. Yeah, some of them were in there, deserved to be in there. But most of them were in there because they didn't pay their debts to some rich guy or something like that, or they offended some rich son of a bitch by splashing shit on their shoes or something. Well, I want to remind these goddamn guys that run these prisons that when that day comes in this country and those gates are flung open, whites, blacks, Mexicans, Asians, they're going to be coming for you. I hope I live to see that day. The great purge to make things right for a change. Because every time I think of Richard Scutari wasting away in that goddamn cell when he should have been out a long time ago, when hundreds, maybe thousands of niggers who have committed worse crimes than he have been let loose, it just makes you so, I guess, so infuriated. I don't know quite what to do. And luckily, I've got myself under control, or somebody would be in big, big doo-doo. I just hope and pray for Mother Nature and human nature to culminate in a worldwide revolution. And just for fun. Just for fun. Okay. The end of this show, I'm going to play you a song, one that I didn't know was around, The Ballad of Thunder Road. Thunder Road was a great movie about the moonshiners down in Harlan, Kentucky. They've made some more movies about it, but Robert Mitchum played in this movie. He sang this song, The Ballad of Thunder Road. There was another case of the ruling class. Actually, they caused this almost a bloodbath back before the ink on the Constitution was dry. And that was the upstate New York farmers who had some bad years and drought and everything and were starving to death because they weren't getting the crops. So they began to distill whiskey to get them through the winter. And the New York Jew boys, distillers, went to the new great Democratic leader, George Washington, and said, "You got to help us because they're interfering with our business. We're making a hell of a lot of money up here, and these farmers out there are undercutting us." And so Washington got on his horse and took I don't know how many men with him. I'm not sure whether Jefferson was with him or not. And they were on their way up there to kill these farmers or put them into submission anyhow. Well, they got to the area, and it was winter, and it was too cold to do their killing for some reason. So they billeted there, camped out until spring. And it was interesting because by that time, the farmers had secretly or whatever gotten all this booze that they distilled out of there, and they've got enough money in there to keep going. But the main reason is because the troops somehow were spending their money, Continental money, into the local community. So by spring, the farmers had enough money they didn't need to distill anymore. So Washington, of course, Washington only rode out there halfway. He didn't go all the way. He must have sensed it wouldn't be too good for the father of the country to be butchering people right after they signed the Constitution. Well, that's what it was in Kentucky and places like that. These people were poor, you know, because the miners, the mining companies, had screwed them out of their land and their mining rights. And so, and they'd always distilled White Lightning and sort of help them get along. And then the feds come along and say, well, you can't do that. We're going to tax it. Because, you know, always for a good cause, because, you know, some of that white lightning might be bad, might make somebody sick. Those guys could brew pure whiskey than any Jew distiller in Canada or any place else or here. They didn't need anybody to tell them how to distill good booze. Once in a while, of course, there was a bad batch. But they get bad batches in the commercial outfits, too, in New York and Canada and so forth. And, of course, the Jews had a lock on the liquor distilling, just like they did when they furnished the rum for the slavers to go to Africa and trade the rum to get the niggers and bring them over here. And another sad part of our history. So when they say Jews, if people say, well, the Jews didn't really run the slave ships, well, you can always say, well, they did run the distilleries that furnished the booze that the slavers took with them to Africa. So by any other name, they're just as guilty. Yeah. That reminds me, the last time I had any White Lightning was out in California. One of the guys went down to Tennessee or Kentucky and brought it back to the bar there, the Red Eye Saloon I used to hang out at once in a while. And we sat there all afternoon and drank this quart of White Lightning. There were quite a few people there, so we didn't get too drunk. But it's good stuff. It's good stuff as long as you don't go overboard. That's what Dennis Mahan got screwed into. He started drinking Everclear, and he got hooked on that. Everclear is similar to White Lightning, and it got him doing things that he shouldn't have been doing, or allegedly doing things he shouldn't have been doing. Yep. So you got to watch out for that demon rum, like the gals said in Prohibition. That demon rum will get you if you go overdo it. Just don't overdo it, man. Well, I don't know whether you've heard about this, but Putin and the Russian government has offered $50 million to whoever can turn over the cause of their airliner going down. And I think the case could be made, like I said earlier, that we could turn over Cheney and Bush Jr. to Putin and let him take care of them. Because no matter what anybody says, they're the origins of all this problem. So, $50 million, that's a lot of money. I thought I'd dwell a little bit on how hypocritical the Christians are. Here's a little thing that a guy wrote up. He's probably a Christian, about how hypocritical they are, these Christ insanity people. He says, when I talk to a conservative Christian about their stance on a hot-button issue like abortion or gay marriage, they almost always quote the Bible. When I've spoken to them about admitting Syrian refugees, none of them do. They do not attempt to draw from the many Bible commands to practice hospitality. They do not wrestle with God's instructions for how the Israelites should treat refugees and immigrants. They do not invoke Jesus' comments on loving one's neighbor or Paul's reminder that God does not give his children a spirit of fear. Instead, my most conservative Christian friends talk a lot about what is practical and logical and safe, which seems to depend on how one defines those terms and which facts one is considering. They talk about what it means to be an American, how the president should protect the country. But the Bible-believing Christians who oppose admitting refugees do not speak about the Bible at all. That's interesting. Even though these believers have missed what seems to be a critical component of truly Christian ethic, they are onto something. Any conversation about an issue of this importance must consider all the facts. So here are a few of the facts about the Syrian refugee situation that some Christians may overlook. Many Christians opposing admitting Syrian refugees to the United States because they fear it would lead to a terrorist attack similar to those in Paris. And it could. But so far, all parts attackers who have been identified and confirmed are European nationals, according to Federica Mogherini, the High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security Police Vice President of the European Commission. There have been foreign passports found at crime scenes. That's interesting. One reportedly was a Syrian refugee passport, which some say might be fake, and others claim was used to cross into Greece. While the situation could change at any moment, it seems likely that the majority, if not all, the perpetrators in Paris were not refugees or immigrants from Muslim countries. No, TT says they were educated in France and taught a bunch of bullshit in the schools about everybody's equal and everybody's got to get together and how oppressed everybody is. Yeah, there, you know. Okay, many Christians oppose accepting Syrian refugees because they fear many will be terrorists. Well, they probably will be. The State Department says that only 2% of the Syrian refugees who've been admitted to the United States are military-aged men with no families. I think that's a bald-faced lie. You can look at the crowds of these people and see that's a lie. Of the Syrian refugees being, and of course the State Department of the United States is the biggest lying outfit in the country. It should be closed down immediately, and all the people in the State Department tried for treason. Of the Syrian refugees being referred by the UN for settlement, more than half are children under the age of 18. And that makes it even worse, because they can be coached very easily to become terrorists. Not terrorists, unconventional warfare soldiers. A large proportion are women or elderly men. Well, you mean they can't carry a gun or carry a bomb? I mean, I'm 77. I sure could if I wanted to. What this means is that the vast majority of refugees who have been or are being considered by the United States do not fit what someone might consider a suspicious demographic profile. Well, that's bullshit. More than half of America's governors, all except one, is a Republican, have said that they will not allow Syrian refugees in their states. Many claim that the refugees are not properly screened before they're admitted. Well, why did you screen the bastards when they want to send all the troops to Iraq? Are you going to kill people when you get to Iraq? Oh, no, I wouldn't kill anybody. I'm there to plant democracy. In reality, the U.S. has one of the most rigorous vetting processes of any country in the world. That's bullshit, too. And refugees are screened more heavily than any other type of immigrant seeking admittance. More bullshit. It begins with reviewing biometric and biological data to confirm the applicant is who they claim. I'd like to see the exact process that they're claiming they're using there. I mean, Syria's bombed into the Stone Age. Where do you find the records? Where do you find... Where are the doctors that know the patients? Where are the records? The process then takes 18 to 24 months on average, during which the candidate is reviewed by the FBI, CIA, State Department, Defense Department. These are the same people that wrote about the 9/11. They just bullshit and they just keep talking out their ass. Okay, during which time these people are all checked out, huh? And other intelligence officials. During the meantime, what stops them from picking up a gun or building a bomb while they're waiting to see whether they're going to be able to stay? It don't take much to find some guns and build a bomb. I mean, Additionally, the refugees in question will be screened by the United Nations before being referred to the U.S., and I don't think the United Nations is that interested in it, and will be comprised of the most vulnerable and pose little threat. Well, that's in your own mind. I've seen some very seemingly docile people murder their whole family. As Kathleen Newland, a senior fellow at the Migration Policy Institute, another bullshit outfit in Washington, says, the refugee settlement resettlement program is the least likely way for a terrorist to infiltrate the U.S. Well, let's not call them terrorists. Let's call them future criminals, like all the niggers we planted around in the States. A couple of thousand, at least, have been put within 50 miles of me, those black Africans. And how do you know about their criminal minds? And are you keeping track of how many crimes they commit and how many people they kill? Shit, no. Don't piss down my leg and tell me it's raining. It's not raining. These guys, believe me, there's people who eat this shit up and believe it. It's a sad day for truth. Well, what can I say when you follow a fake God and a fake Jesus and read a fake book? One of the most obscene criminal books that's ever been printed. What do you expect? That spiel came from one of these religious websites, and on their address page they got on faith and culture. Well, they may be talking about faith all the time with almost no evidence to support it, but they're sure as hell not talking about real culture.
All right, Monica, thank you. The Ku Klux Klan could get some help after the state denied the group's request to adopt a highway. Channel 2's Diana Davis reports how the American Civil Liberties Union could help the KKK in its fight.
The welcome sign's the first thing you see driving north on Georgia Highway 515 into Union County. The Ku Klux Klan wants to put its name here as part of Georgia's Adopt a Highway Litter program. The state DOT turned down the application Tuesday on the grounds that the Klan's history of violence and its name on a sign might affect public safety and create social unrest. The Klan now is talking to the Georgia ACLU about appealing and possibly suing the state.
We don't just file a suit before there's a conversation.
On the Blairsville Square, some say the Klan has as much right to sponsor a highway cleanup program as anybody, but others don't like the idea of the Klan's name on a public road.
Honestly, I don't think I would agree with it necessarily, just because of the way they look at certain things.
The Georgia ACLU says that's not the point. It says it seems that the denial may violate the Klan's constitutional right to free speech.
I grew up in North Georgia. I do indeed find it offensive, but it's not up to me and it's not up to the state to decide what messages are acceptable and what messages are not acceptable.
A similar fight in Missouri over a Klan sign dragged on in the courts for years, and the Klan got its sign. But an Atlanta lawyer told me the two cases are different. Georgia's program requires highway sponsors to be civic groups.
And I think it's fair that the DOT could determine that the KKK doesn't qualify as a civic-minded organization.
Now, the ACLU says it wants to sit down with both sides before it moves any further. Live from Midtown, Diana Davis, Channel 2, Action News.
Well, I'm sorry that sound might be a little low on that particular recording, but don't you find it ironic that people who are unwilling to get ready to defend the state of Georgia from masses of people from the Middle East invading their country, and black Africans, believe me, there are going to be a hell of a lot more black Africans coming in. You don't think they should be a little, you know, maybe we might need the KKK if they had some balls, I mean, you know. But the KKK seems to be more interested in getting publicity out there cleaning up nigger babies' diapers full of shit and nigger Thunderbird. They don't make that anymore, do they? But, you know, their wine bottles and stuff like that. And the Mexicans and all that kind of stuff. That seems to be what the Klan is interested in nowadays, instead of being out there demonstrating against people coming in here invading our country or invading their state. But things are so wacky now. I mean, what the hell? The people who recruit these people into the KKK are dumber than a rock. And I don't mean I rock. I mean, they need, if you're going to have the Klan, get some people with some knowledge and education to run them, not a bunch of Fruit Loops. No wonder they're not all out there chanting, "We want to clean up the nigger crap on the roads. We demand it's our right to clean up the nigger garbage along the road. You can't stop us. It's our constitutional right to clean up the nigger trash along the road." And the ACLU is funny as hell because they'll only get into a case where there's racists involved unless it's something so stupid or minutia that it doesn't make any difference. The ACLU will not come out in defense of people over real issues of race on the white racist side, but they'll wait for some little deal like this to come along and they'll do it so they can say, "Well, we defend both sides. We defend both sides, yeah, that's because we're liberal." And these articles about the Ku Klux Klan adopting a highway go all over the place. There's dozens and dozens of them on the web. All the newspapers all over the country are going to print this kind of bullshit, which shows you the kind of utter nonsense the newspapers print. Funny, I hear Bernie Sanders running for president on the Democratic ticket, which some of his stuff is pretty good, even though he's a Jew and a homosexual. I'm telling you. Anyhow, he's saying that we got to try to bring them in, but we got to vet them, check them out. And the gal says, "Well, how are you going to check them out?" "Oh, there's all kinds of ways of checking them out." They can't even check out the Mexicans coming across the border. That's so much bullshit. Any more than they checked out these Cuban on the Mariel boat lift that Carter let thousands of them into Florida. You mean they vetted out and checked them out and sent agents out to check their family and all bit? Horse shit. Anybody tells you they can accurately investigate any of these people coming in, or even a majority of them, are lying, like they always do. Either that or they're stupid. I want you all to write a letter to Premier Putin or President Putin or whatever he's called and claim that $50 million and give all of the information that led up to the invasion of Iraq by George Bush Jr. and Cheney, the absolute causes of everything that's happened since. Claim that $50 million. Write them a letter. Okay? Do it today. Here's a good news. Supposedly, Taco Bell just announced they're switching to cage-free eggs. So does that mean their eggs are going to come from free-range chickens? If they do, that's great. And maybe other corporations may follow suit. But we'll see how much this works out in reality. But until I hear differently, we're going to accept it. Taco Bell is doing the right thing.
I'll give it to you. Go ahead. I'm here to admit that I am, in fact, HIV positive.
Charlie Sheen sat down with today's Matt Lauer for an exclusive announcement Tuesday morning, revealing that he is HIV positive. The actor received his diagnosis 4 years ago and had made efforts to keep his secret from the public despite numerous threats by individuals to reveal his positive status. Charlie touched on freeing himself from the cycle of extortion he created.
How many people have you paid?
I don't want to guess wrong, but enough to bring it into the millions. For some reason, I trusted them. They were deep in my inner circle, and I thought that they could be helpful. And instead, they as I wrote, my trust turned to their treason.
Are you still paying some of these people?
Not after today, I'm not.
Sheen also addressed rumors that he knowingly spread the virus to others while continuing his excessive lifestyle.
I was doing a lot of drugs. I was drinking way too much. And I was making really bad decisions. That part I own, 100%.
Have you knowingly, or even perhaps unknowingly, transmitted the HIV virus to someone else since your diagnosis?
Impossible.
Have you, since the time of your diagnosis, told every one of your sexual partners before you had a sexual encounter that you were HIV positive?
Yes, I have.
No exception?
No exception.
Sheen is not entirely sure how he contracted the virus and has kept it a secret in part due to the stigma associated with the disease, something he's looking to combat moving forward.
Do you still feel that stigma?
Not anymore, I don't. No. I don't. No, I have a responsibility now to better myself and to help a lot of other people. And hopefully with what we're doing today, others may come forward and say, thanks, Charlie, thanks for kicking the door open, you know.
So Charlie Sheen, our great American hero that a lot of kids wanted to emulate. Everybody watching him on TV, he's wonderful. He's got HIV, and I think he's lying through his teeth that he didn't have sex, and he told everybody he had sex, and they said, oh, that's okay, Charlie, as long as you got a rubber on. Huh. Do you believe that? If you believe that, I've got a bunch of swampland down in Florida that's still for sale, and the Brooklyn Bridge, too. Yeah, Charlie's just like hundreds of other of these Hollywood whores that... They don't go to Hollywood being whores, probably, but they end up that way on the casting couch, and they live lives of absolute debauchery, and the Jews benefit and make a lot of money off of them, and then they die, or they go away, or they commit suicide. What can you say? Actually, I can say good riddance. One thing the Sheen family did that I appreciate, though, they did work in the movie Apocalypse Now, which is one of my favorite films and a great anti-war film.
Look, before we recommend a new truck, we test...
Let me tell the story.
I can tell it all about the mountain boy who ran illegal alcohol. His daddy made the whiskey. Son, he drove the load. When his engine roared, they called the highway Thunder Road. Sometimes into Asheville, sometimes Memphis town. The revenuers chased him, but they couldn't run him down. Each time they thought they had him, his engine would explode. He'd go by like they were standing still on Thunder Road.
And there was thunder, thunder over Thunder Road.
Thunder was his engine, and white lightning was his load.
And there was moonshine, moonshine, crashed the devil's thirst.
The law they swore they'd get him, but the devil got him first. On the 1st of April, 1954, a federal man sent word he'd better make his run no more. He said 200 agents were covering the state. Whichever road he tried to take, they'd get him sure his fate. Son, his daddy told him, make this run your last. The tank is filled with 100 proof. You're all tuned up in gas. Now don't take any chances. If you can't get through, I'd rather have you back again than pull that Mountain Dew.
And there was thunder, thunder over Thunder Road.
Thunder was his engine, and white lightning was his load.
And there was moonshine, moonshine, to quench the devil's thirst.
The law they swore they'd get him, but the devil got him first. Roaring out of Harlem, revving up his mill. He shot the gap to Cumberland and screamed by Maynardville. With T-Man on his taillight, roadblocks up ahead. The mountain boy took roads that even angels feared to tread. Blazing right through Knoxville, out on Kingston Pike. Then right outside of Pearson, there they made the fatal strike. He left the road at 90, that's all there is to say. The devil got the moonshine and the mountain boy that day.
And there was thunder, thunder over Thunder Road.
Thunder was his engine, and white lightning was his load.
And there was moonshine, moonshine, quenched the devil's thirst.
The law they never got him, 'cause the devil got him first. The law they never got him, 'cause the devil got him first.